The following podcast is provided to you free, as is all our content, at drhoffman.com. If you'd like to listen, help support Intelligent Medicine, and get great values by shopping at our supplement store, go to drhoffman.com and click on Shop, then click on the store. Thanks, and enjoy the podcast. Welcome to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. And today it is time for our weekly Q&A with Layla. Layla Mudin, of course, is the nutritionist at the Hoffman Center. We work together in tandem, helping patients. She also sees patients individually at the Hoffman Center, offering them a nutritional perspective on their diseases. And that's what we're going to do with today's Q&A with Layla. We invite your questions, radioprogram@AOL.com. Gets your questions to us, and we will select the questions for appropriateness. We reserve that right because sometimes the questions are a little too lengthy, a little too convoluted, or a little bit off topic. And so, Layla, welcome.
Hi, Dr. Hoffman. How are you doing?
Good, good. So, summer is proceeding, and we got a little vacation time coming up. You're headed for the beach?
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
can't
good.
Wait.
Me too. I'm looking forward to it. The good news for our listeners is that we still will be generating some podcasts, and I will be doing my regular program on Saturdays because it's actually something that I enjoy, even from my vacation home. If I take a week away from work, I'm very happy to continue doing podcasts with great phone interviews with guests and some of our individual podcasts. Now I'm doing clinical focus, trying to work through various medical and health issues. This week we talked about adrenal problems. So that's a podcast that just got put up at drhoffman.com. And in part one, I talk about why the adrenals go haywire, either too high or too low. And in part two, I provide people with answers in terms of lifestyle, the right kind of exercise and diet, and the right kind of supplements, because we have a whole lot of adrenal supplements in our arsenal. So that's at drhoffman.com. And what you writing about for this week's newsletter?
This week's newsletter is all about the dangers of artificial sweeteners.
Okay.
Yeah, a lot of people think it's okay that we take this or we take that. And, you know, even things like Splenda, back when I was with Dr. Atkins, that was the superhero.
Right.
Splenda, the sucralose.
Yeah, he was actually in favor of that. He knew, he recognized that the NutraSweet was harmful. But he did say that, look, we got to leave our patients with a little bit of creature comfort, and he felt that Splenda was okay. Now we know differently, right?
But now we're finding out otherwise.
Right.
And that's part of the topic of that, is that it can impact blood sugar and insulin, and we have to be careful how we go, and that agave nectar is the new high fructose corn syrup.
So look to our newsletter this week, and of course we'll publish that article at drhoffman.com. But please subscribe to our newsletter because you get timely updates on health topics. This week, I picked a different topic this week, and I don't know if you saw my contribution yet, but it was 10 things that we got right, because this marks the 30th anniversary of my entry into the practice of medicine.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Happy anniversary.
Thank you very much. It was, I first entered private practice at what was then, we called it the Whole Life Medical Center, back in 1984. That's 30 years ago. And I don't know, I guess the Reagan or the Carter administration, I don't even know. It was the, before Carter, there was Ford, right? Gerald Ford?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So way back when. And that's when it all began. And so what I did is I looked at some of the things that have really gone mainstream, things that we had just bare intimations about, we're just beginning to understand 30 years ago, and we were proven right by the test of time. So I wanted to highlight that to our audience attention and go down memory lane a little bit. So that's my contribution to the newsletter, and we'll post it at drhoffman.com. So this week, very momentous news about organic foods. You know that the deal when people see you buying organic foods, or sometimes, you know, maybe with family members, they sometimes scoff. They say, you know, why are you paying those inflated prices? It's all the same at the supermarket. And they read articles, which are articles that claim that the benefits of organic foods are just junk science, that there are no real benefits, that, you know, it's just, you know, kind of a feed and expensive and doesn't really matter. And even Dr. Oz kind of got on the bandwagon. He was criticized a couple of years ago when he did a show. Yeah, he did a show saying, look, it's expensive and, you know.
That's surprising.
Yeah, it is surprising.
That's disappointing, actually.
It was a little disappointing. And he actually got attacked by people who were sort of hardcore natural foods advocates. But I think what he was trying to do is seem even-handed. He was trying to say, well, you know, we don't have to go overboard. You know, we can have some, like, conventional produce and foods if it's too expensive, you know, which to some extent, I mean, there are certain times of the year it's
very... Well, there is the concept of, you know, the Dirty Dozen and the Clean 15 and so forth. I mean, I think that applies.
Right, in other words, and so, that's, by the way, that's an Environmental Working Group, EWG, has a, they have a list of where it really, 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 really pays to get organic, where it's just very, you know, maybe there's some equivalency on certain products like, I don't know. Does it make a big difference whether you have an organic banana or a regular banana? I'm sometimes not sure because, I mean, is there such a difference?
You know what? And bananas aren't even on the list. But you know what? Yep. Berries, especially strawberries and blueberries, love to hang on to their pesticides.
They're just covered
with
pesticides.
Those really do need to be organic.
Yeah, but how the heck, you know, in mid-February do you get berries shipped to your market that don't rot? I mean, they've got to put a lot of stuff on them, preservatives
That's
and different
true.
Things. So, yeah.
A lot of antifungals. You know what else I discovered? I remember several months ago I was buying a bag of oranges at the local grocery, and I read a tiny little print saying these have been sprayed with some kind of antifungal something, something, something. I put them right back.
Yeah. Well, so this week.
Because all these antifungals are hard on the liver, as
absolutely.
Are all of the pesticides and chemical fertilizers and things that we are ingesting when we're eating commercial produce.
So anyway, so this week, but coming back to what the big news story is this week, a big article that came out of Washington State University, headline, higher antioxidant and lower cadmium concentrations and lower incidence of pesticide residues in organically grown crops. And they did a meta-analysis, which means it's a study of 343 previous publications on this subject. And they say scientific opinion is divided on whether there are significant nutritional differences between organic and non-organic foods. And two recent reviews have concluded that there are no differences. So they're saying we re-examined the data, and their conclusion is that there are significant differences. And not only are there less toxins, but there is a higher level of beneficial antioxidants in the foods. And I think that's just a really resounding endorsement of organic produce.
That's true. That's true. So more polyphenols, more antioxidants. And they also find that there are more nutritional benefits, and it's because of the way they're produced. They say here, and I'm quoting, a plant on a conventionally managed field will typically have access to high levels of synthetic nitrogen, which will marshal the extra resources into producing more sugar and starch. As a result, the harvested portion of the plant often has lower concentrations of other nutrients.
So what they're saying, I think they may be saying there, another way of saying that is that it's sort of an artificially inflated fruit or vegetable that is you know, pumped up to giant size by really potent fertilizers, but the nutrient concentration is... Mm-hmm. is less good. So, in other words, it might be better off having like a little, you know, like a smaller, you know, strawberry that is natural as opposed to some steroid-enhanced...
My husband has even told me strawberries are not supposed to be this big.
He said, yeah.
And some of them, they claim organic, but he said they're not supposed to be this big.
If they're so gigantic, they're a little suspect, you know, and maybe what that does is they're just full of water and it dilutes their nutrient content.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay.
But, you know, what I really found intriguing here, Dr. Hoffman, is that it marshals the extra resources into producing a higher sugar, a starchier fruit or vegetable.
Yeah,
this is troubling.
Yeah. So, in other words,
so this is very troubling. These are going to be higher on the glycemic index, maybe.
They don't even talk about that.
Organic.
Yeah, but they don't even talk about that. But what in effect you're getting less of the helpful nutrients and more of the things you don't want: more sugar, more starch, more calories. In fact, and I mean, and you know, I got to say, there's a taste difference. And whenever there's a taste difference, you know, like sometimes I'll just get tempted to buy a peach in a supermarket. They just look so good. And then I'll bite in the peach and I'll say, boy, it looked great, but there's absolutely no taste to it. And when there's no taste, that is a signature of these healthy antioxidant substances, because I guess God and nature put them there to attract us to them because they're good for us. And, you know, if the peach tastes like mush, then maybe there's not enough beneficial nutrients in there.
There you go.
Yeah.
It's supposed to taste good. Absolutely.
All right.
And peaches are one of the dirty dozen, so you want to make sure the peaches are organic.
Yes.
As well.
Yeah.
You could find out more at EWG.org.
And there's all kinds of articles on this. There's one in the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal. I'll be discussing this on this weekend's edition of Intelligent Medicine. All right, let us go to questions. What's on the burner for today?
Actually, this is a very nice email from somebody who says, and I don't have a name here, but she says, it's about time I get around to writing you and thanking you for all your information, Dr. Hoffman, that you share with your listeners that kept my husband alive and enjoying a great quality of health for 18 years.
Wow, that's great.
He died 2 years ago from respiratory failure. He just could not knock the cigarette habit.
Mm-hmm.
However, because I'm such a big fan of yours for 25 years, I kept relaying information to him, over which he readily took and tried. It changed his life.
Oh, that's great.
I wanted to let you know the importance and the powerful influence you and your show have on so many of us.
Yeah, and that's really exciting, because this is a person who just contacted me on Facebook, and, you know, unsolicited, and I just really appreciate hearing these kinds of stories, because, you know, I put out all this information. I have no way of knowing whether this is impacting people's lives. I mean, in my office, I see patients, and that's great, but it's nice to know that some of the information is being taken seriously, utilized, and is having an impact. So, great. That's nice to hear.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, here's a question we have from John. Dear Dr. Hoffman and Layla, I enjoy listening to all of your podcasts. My question is, are there diet, lifestyle changes, or supplements that will help to lengthen or preserve the length of one's telomeres?
Okay.
That's a great question.
Well, let's start with, what are telomeres? You want to provide
telomeres an overview? Are those ends of the, what did I actually heard someone else call it, the tips of your shoestrings?
Of your shoelaces, yeah. I mean, they're these little caps, these end caps on your shoelaces, so your shoelaces don't unravel. Same thing happens on your chromosomes.
Mm-hmm.
And they're, so the telomeres prevent the chromosomes from unraveling, which would result in basically deterioration of all your organ systems and your cells and death. And, you know, actually, this is actually one of the theories as to why people age and die, is because they're only granted a certain number of DNA replications. And the telomeres either protect the DNA or they don't protect the DNA. And when your telomeres are short, you have less replications. When they're long, you have more replications. And so this is thought to be a marker for longevity. And, you know, it's kind of neat. You can actually see these things.
Yeah, you could actually see them. And the other thing is,
you can measure them.
Long
mm-hmm.
requires a very healthy diet and lifestyle. But one that's been looked at in the scientific research is caloric restriction.
Yeah, which
well,
is not.
I believe some scientists are still practicing caloric restriction, where they reduce the amount of calorie, their total calorie intake, to about two-thirds or even mm-hmm. half
there is
of
even
what
a,
they were taking.
I once reported on this. There's even a CR society, and they meet together, and they have, you know, like a festive celebratory dinner every year. And I think they serve, like, bean sprouts and, you know, a couple of peas. And, you know, their plates are very, it's like, it makes you going to those French restaurants with the Nouvelle French cuisine look like a banquet.
Right.
You know, and they're all really thin. The idea is you got to eat about 60 or 70% of the normal caloric intake, which I got to say is, you know, there's the old joke is, you know, if I do this or I do that, will I live longer? And the answer is no, but it'll seem longer.
Exactly.
Right? Because, like, caloric restriction, yeah, that's no fun. And it's like, okay, that's great. You know, you get to live to be 128. But, you know, how much fun is that going to be?
Punishing, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So everybody's looking for that magic workaround, you know, which will replicate the effects of caloric restriction.
Well, resveratrol, for one thing, can help with that, the benefits of caloric restriction. The other thing
it,
is...
It seems to duplicate that. It works on the same pathway. It's called the sirtuin pathway, which is what resveratrol targets, which is the pathway that's identical to the pathway that's activated by dietary restriction. Anyway, intermittent fasting,
Intermittent fasting can be helpful because when we are in a fasted state, it helps with the repair of our bodies. That includes the, you know, possibly the repair of the telomeres, or at best keeping them from getting ever shorter. So intermittent fasting can work like caloric restriction, where caloric restriction is every day, every day, every day. Sounds to me like punishment, but intermittent fasting, not so much.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's the so-called 5-2 plan. The 5-2 plan, or it's some called, I think it's referred to as the Dukan diet in Europe, the 5-2 plan, which is eating, you know, well, eating cleanly for 5 days, but 2 days eating less than 600 calories. So eating very lightly. Pick 2 days of the week, and that's usually feasible. And then it's almost like shocking the body a little bit on those days to upregulate some anti-inflammatory pathways, some repair pathways. It seems to be great for diabetes prevention, heart disease prevention, even cancer prevention. I got to say, personally, I'm not disciplined enough to undertake that. I've fasted in the past. I've fasted for as much as, you know, 17 days at a time, and it's arduous. And it was an interesting experiment I did on my body. And but you know, in the hustle bustle of daily life, and you know, especially you want to maintain a high level of physical activity and productivity, it's tough to do that.
It is. So other things to do is reduce all the things that you're doing in your life that may cause inflammation and aging. All right, first thing, smoking will age you rapidly, as will a high carbohydrate or a high sugar junk food diet. So stopping those right there will help to keep, you know, the length of your telomeres. Getting enough sleep. I don't think enough emphasis is placed on sleep. And for those, burning the midnight oil or burning the candle at both ends. And
I think the mechanism might be cortisol. The mechanism might be cortisol, is that too much cortisol may have a damaging effect on the telomeres. So, you know, there's some lifestyle things. Also, I think there are actually some studies that show that a mere multivitamin, and it's not clear what component of the multivitamin, it's just sort of a shotgun approach using a smattering of all the important nutrients, in one study that I can remember, help the telomeres, so an ordinary multivitamin. And then there's some proprietary blends. There's something, I think it's called TAH95 or something along those lines. It's very expensive, and it's a proprietary blend. They don't even tell you quite what's in there, but it contains various nutraceuticals that are supposed to help your telomeres stay longer.
Was that in Suzanne Summers' book?
Yes, it was in Suzanne Summers' book, and a lot of people are using that. But I have to say that I think the science behind that is good, but it's a little speculative, and it's not been validated by really long-term studies. And it is expensive. A lot cheaper to buy, you know, ordinary nutraceuticals and phytonutrients from good quality websites and health food stores than to buy this proprietary product that's offered by doctors. Doctors, I think, are sometimes purchase licenses to sell this. So that's a story.
Vitamin D is also important.
I think vitamin D has been shown to
preserving our telomeres as well. Mm-hmm. So just trying to think of anything else, but I think resveratrol.
Resveratrol is as a magic bullet targeted ingredient is the one that seems to have the most evidence behind it as a telomere enhancer.
Terrific. Okay, John from New Jersey.
Yep.
Take your resveratrol.
There you go.
We have another question. This is Jean that says, I noticed, now I don't remember seeing this, I noticed on the labels of bottles, of some bottles of melatonin, there is a caution regarding taking it if you have thyroid disease. I have Hashimoto's and wonder why I should not take melatonin, and more, what would happen if I did take it?
Hmm.
Now, I'm scratching my head, Dr. Hoffman, because if melatonin is a problem for Hashimoto's, what about what our pineal gland secretes every night when we sleep?
Yeah, I really don't get it. You know, here's where I maybe there's a connection, because tyrosine is a building block for both melatonin and thyroid hormone, and do they think that melatonin is delivering some tyrosine into the system that could, if you have hyperthyroidism, could it be a problem? But I don't even know. You know, sometimes I wonder, are these warnings drafted by experienced clinicians, or are they drafted by attorneys? I don't really know that there's a specific, and maybe we could go back to a little research on that one and see what the connection is, because I haven't really come across it. It doesn't seem, you know, to me, that is not a contraindication to melatonin. If you have a thyroid disorder, and that would mean that for, you know, a quarter population or more of women, that melatonin might be harmful or dangerous. I just don't think that that's going to be the case.
In
the future, what I'm going to do is I am going to demand that when people send me something like that, send me a source. Don't just say I read it on a website. I want a source.
That's a terrific idea.
You know, it's like I heard it through the grapevine. You know, President Obama was born in Kenya. You know, it's like, okay, well, that's an interesting idea. But is that an urban legend, or do you have proof of that? You know, something along those lines. It's like, you know, you know, it's like a lot of people believe I just went through some health myths that they did a survey on whether people believe these things. I mean, like, a lot of people don't believe that we ever sent an astronaut to the moon. In fact, fewer people in the United States disbelieve that, but a lot of people across the world think it was done by Hollywood. They think that America foisted a prank on the world and pretended to land a man on the moon. So some people don't really believe it. But there's actually a fairly high percentage of the population that believes that AIDS was created to wipe out the homosexual population and to target minorities.
It's conspiracy theory.
Yeah,
there
was. It was engineered by, you know, mad scientists at the CIA or something like, or you know, something along those. And some people believe that. And there's a lot of things like that that are sort of urban legend kind of things that get magnified. And I'm not saying that there's no basis for believing melatonin is implicated in thyroid disorders, but you know, if you're going to send me an email and you want me to comment on this, provide me with a source. And I can vet the source. I can see if the source is reliable. I can do some additional research. But if just a wild rumor or innuendo is not going to float my boat.
That's it.
All right.
Perfect. Yeah.
Well, I mean, let's see if we can find out anything about it. We'll provide people with a postscript if we discover anything that supports that connection. All right. That's all the time that we have for part one of this week's Q&A with Layla. But stay tuned, because in part two, give us a preview of some of the questions we're going to answer.
Cod liver oil. Fermented or regular cod liver oil?
I haven't even heard of fermented cod liver oil. That's a new one on me. Yeah.
Yeah. Drinking water during meals.
Okay.
Will that dilute enzymes?
Okay.
And what are some great naturopathic medicine books?
Okay, great. Resources for people to use.
Yeah.
Okay, great. All right, so when we return in part two, we'll consider some of those questions. Thank you for joining us for the first part, part one, of today's Q&A with Layla. Thank you, Layla. This is Intelligent Medicine.